This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, welcome back, my friend. We are here Tuesday night, Johnny Lupinacci in the state of Washington, me in the state of Ohio, the show produced coming out of Madison, Wisconsin. Johnny, we have been given some time. Last week, we talked to the historians on call looking at this issue of teaching and learning American history. We're going back to Florida. I just want to read something. House Bill 999 bans education that teaches, and I quote this, curriculum based on unproven theoretical or exploratory content that define American history is contrary to the creation of a new nation based on universal principles stated in the Declaration of Independence. Johnny, if you're not down with the Declaration, you are not supposed to be teaching that. We talked to a historian, our guest tonight, though, eminent education historian, Dr. Diane Ravitch. She was research professor at education at New York University. She's a historian of education. She is the founder and president of the Network for Public Education, which has over 350 followers. Diane Ravitch's blog, dianeravitch.net, has received nearly 40 million hits. Dr. Diane Ravitch, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Hi, Tim. How are you? Hello, Johnny. Nice to meet you. And I have to just correct one thing. The Network for Public Education has not 350 members. It has 350,000 members.
I look right here. 350,000. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We have members in every state in the country. And, you know, we're very active wherever we're needed.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, being there and being part of even the original when you and some of the people that founded this, what a great organization, great conferences over the year, great speakers, really talking about public education. And Diane, I mean, when we're here, you know, we're going to talk about Florida. We're going to deal with this a little bit. But, you know, this really is more than a Florida issue. But I titled the show tonight, you know, Teaching and Learning History in Hostile Times. If I said, Diane, is that true or false? What would you say?
Oh, I'd say it's very true. These are indeed hostile times for education. They're also very difficult times to teach history because a number of state legislatures, Florida being one of them, Texas another, and all across the South and lots of states in the Midwest have decided that legislators know history better than teachers do. Know history better than historians do. And if they don't like what's being taught, then they can just legislate and say, don't teach it. It may be true, but you can't teach it anyway. And I guess in trying to think about any kind of precedent to this, I'd have to go back to the McCarthy era. But even then, I don't think the state legislators were as active as they are today or as bold in making a list of books you're not allowed to read and making a list of ideas you're not allowed to introduce. And I can't think, for example, of a precedent to a state banning a book in legislation. The book that's been banned is the 1619 Project. And I read the book and I found it very informative. I would recommend it to, you know, not for third graders, it's too hard, but for kids who are juniors and seniors in high school, it's a wonderful teaching tool. And you can argue with it, and it's good to argue with it, that it really would set off debates. But why ban it? It really, when people get into banning things, it means they're afraid of what's in them. And this is not a prurient book. This is, doesn't have any sexual obscenities in it or any other kind of obscenities. It just tells a lot of facts about American history that people don't want told.
Well, you pointed to that, too. And this is one of the things that, you know, sometimes people say, hey, you're just caught up in the present moment. Stuff like this happens all the time. It'll blow over. Nothing to see here. Nothing to look at. And, you know, I sometimes try to say, OK, maybe you're right. It will blow over. But it you know, it feels, and you're living through it in the moment, that it feels, you know, very unprecedented. So to hear you say that, you know, from the McCarthy era also, you know, I saw Ken Burns put out some pretty strong statements about the fact that, you know, he hasn't seen anything like this since Soviet style forced, and he didn't call it education, indoctrination, I think he said. I mean, this is where we are. We're not talking about necessarily as much banning. When we understand that we're banning, what are we then forcing to teach? And so from this quote from House Bill 999 in Florida legislature, anything contrary to the Declaration of Independence is something that could be suspect. How do we teach the Declaration of Independence? I'm thinking about when I was a fifth grade teacher, one of the essential things that we teach is compare and contrast. Right away, I'm in violation if I take the Declaration of Independence and do any type of, quote, contrasting. Again, just a sense, Diane, like as you're looking, you know, at this, you know, are these history wars, they're not new, but the level of ferociousness, maybe is that it now that's different this time?
Well, I do think what's different is that there are a very significant number, I guess in red states especially, of legislatures that have said, we know history better than history teachers, and we're going to tell you what to teach and what not to teach. And I think that this is more aggressive even than in the McCarthy era. And I think that what makes it hardest for us today is that we have lived through a long period of time, let's say from the late 60s or early 70s, until the recent past, where we really understood the First Amendment. I mean, when you read that legislation from First Amendment from Florida, what they're really saying is that the First Amendment doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to teach ideas that go contrary to my ideas. And my idea, say the legislators, is that the United States was born perfect, was always perfect, and was never anything less than perfect. Nothing bad ever happened. And if you teach anything that violates my idea, you can be prosecuted for that. You can be fired for that. So that really flies in the face of not only common sense and the teaching of history as having some factual basis, not allowing any controversy, which we've had lots of. We have lots of controversy today. We've always had controversy, but they're saying do not teach controversy, only teach what I believe, and what I believe cannot be contested.
Well, I tell you, when we're talking about controversy, though, my co-host, Johnny Lupinacci, there's a controversial dude right there. Johnny Lupinacci, questions or comments for Dr. Ravitch?
Well, one, thank you, Diane, for joining us tonight and for all the work that you do, especially right now in this moment, to help all of us educators out here respond to, like you said, the attack on, I hadn't even thought about it in terms of being an attack on the First Amendment, but really thinking about how do we respond in this particular political moment where we tend to turn our attention right now to Florida because it's so prominent in front of all of our faces, but it's really happening everywhere, right? Where we aren't just ignoring historians and historical expertise, but really, really going against democracy. And so for teachers, I'm just one, honored to have you here, but two, really want to open it up to hear what you would suggest teachers out there do in this particular political moment.
You know, it's easy for me to say what I'm going to say because I'm not facing any consequences. I'm 84 years old. I'm not teaching the classroom, but I see widespread attack on academic freedom, and teachers in K through 12 actually don't have academic freedom. You're supposed to teach the curriculum. You're supposed to pay attention to the state standards, but the state standards are not to meant to say this is true and this is false and this is what you can teach and this is what you're not allowed to teach. There's supposed to be, and I've worked on state standards, there's supposed to be very broad general statements about this is the content and the reason for state standards. From my, you know, kind of personal point of view, is to make sure that no one teaches state history 3 years in a row. Like if you move from one part of the state of Washington to another, you're not going to be getting state history again for another year. I many years ago got a letter from a student who had moved three times in 3 years in New Jersey and had state history 3 years in a row. And that convinced me of, wow, New Jersey has to decide what year they're going to teach state history. But it didn't say this is what's true and this is what's false. And now we have people who are themselves very poorly educated in the state legislatures saying, I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is true. And I don't care what facts you may have or what the historians say. My opinion is what's true. And if you don't teach my opinion, you go to jail. Well, that's ridiculous. And so what do I advise? I would love to see all these ideas tested in court because they're just so blatantly unconstitutional. The problem we have today is that, according to the latest data I've seen, Trump appointed 28% of the federal judges. But even some of the Trump-appointed judges have ruled against him. I mean, he brought 61 cases against the election, and many of those cases were heard by 62. Well, many of those cases were heard by people he appointed, and they were all thrown out. I don't think there were very many, if any, judges who said this was a rigged election. And so these are people who, in every case, have a law degree and don't want to look like fools themselves. And I think, given a kind of an open and shut case of censorship and teachers being told teach lies, I think that these laws have to be challenged. I'd love to see the people who actually have some resources, meaning the unions, bring some court cases against the restrictions on teaching critical race theory. Of course, as everyone says, critical race theory really isn't taught in schools. I mean, but in fact, anytime you discuss race in America, anytime, you eventually have to call it critical race theory because you're saying, why are we teaching it this way and not that way? Why aren't we talking about systemic racism? Why is it that, you know, huge percentages of people who are incarcerated are Black and very often get a harsher sentence for the same crime as perpetrators who are white? I mean, all of these questions are things we have to discuss, but discussing them is being banned. And I think that the only way to stop it is to fight it.
Well, let's fight it. When we get back from the break, we're going to actually go into that. John, I love that question about what should teachers do. In fact, maybe when we get back, Diane, let's talk about some of the good things teachers can do. We are talking to Dr. Diane Ravitch, the eminent education historian. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, back after the break.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
I know how I want it. I want Dr. Diane Ravitch. That's who we have on the show, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. We are back talking about how do we teach history? How do we learn history? How do we deal with this moment in time where banning, and I think that is the word, banning the First Amendment, banning truth. Now, Evan, there's a piece there that I had you queued up from the American Historical Association. Let's listen to a few historians about what we should be doing. Go for it, Evan.
I think American history is rich, I think, and we have to deal with the good, bad, and the ugly.
I think Americans should be very concerned if professional trained teachers are being kept from teaching their students to think critically about what has happened in the past in this country.
This nation cannot heal its divisions by pretending those divisions don't exist. No doctor is going to tell a patient to ignore an injury because that injury is unpleasant.
The great irony is that the bills that are supposed, on theory, to prevent divisiveness are the ones that are actually designed to promote it. Stop. You gotta relax and let the children learn and let the teachers teach.
Right there. I love that, as a simple solution. Let the children learn. let the teachers teach. Isn't that what this is really about? This is, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, this is an attack on learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a phrase in German, which I won't attempt to repeat because I'll mess it up. My German's no good, but it's the freedom to learn and the freedom to teach. And that's what's under attack here. And, you know, so much of this attack is a smokescreen. When they say, well, we don't want critical race theory, they don't know what they're talking about. I've seen clips again and again of people who say, I don't want critical race theory. I don't like. And then the interviewer says, can you define it? And they say, no, but I don't like it. I don't know what it is. What they're really opposed to is teaching about racism. And how can you teach American history and not teach about racism? First of all, most Black people were brought here enslaved, not all, but most. And slavery was horrible. And how can you not say it was horrible for one human being to own another and treat him as a piece of property? And then post Civil War, there was a brief period during Reconstruction and brilliantly covered by Henry Louis Gates on a four-part series on PBS, where he showed how during this period of about 10 years, Black civic life, Black political life, the right to vote, the right to own businesses, all of this just flourished incredibly in the South. And then it was, with the end of Reconstruction, crushed and replaced by Jim Crow. This is an incredibly fascinating history, and kids should be engaged in this. And yet what people like Governor DeSantis thinks is that if kids learn the truth, they'll think, oh, that was my ancestors who were in the Ku Klux Klan, and I'm going to feel really bad thinking that my great-grandfather rode in the Ku Klux Klan and did terrible things to Black people. So let's not teach that. That's ridiculous. That happened. That's reality. You cannot banish truth and reality. There's no question. And, you know, the other thing is that to think that all truth is contained in a textbook is ridiculous, because we do have television, we do have the internet, and all of this is easily accessible if you know where to look, but you have to know where to look. Anybody who has public television in their household is going to learn the things that are banned in school. So I'd say that what they're really trying to do is to sanitize history in order to control, it's thought control. And I think that one of the things, and I write about Ron DeSantis almost every day in my blog, because the hits keep on coming. I mean, his desire to totally stamp out dissent. He even bragged the other day that there were no Democrats statewide. He would like to see the Democratic Party simply eliminated in Florida so we could have one-man control.
It doesn't, and that's the thing, when you hear that, and, you know, I sometimes would like to engage in a debate and go, you know, Mr. DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, are you aware of the fact that you are not talking about freedom the way you like to proclaim? You're not talking about, you know, teaching truth the way you like to claim. You're actually an authoritarian in this moment of time. And that, in fact, you know, maybe from the best teaching example, is he's probably giving us one of the most current examples of a real life authoritarian trying to take control. And geez, you know, the lessons of history say, and one of the ways you do that is by taking control of the education systems of the people and the kids. You know, Diane, we've got 2 minutes for a break, but a couple of thoughts there, and then we'll come back again.
Well, the only way to understand what's going on, not only in Florida, but with all the copycat states, Texas and Oklahoma and many of the states across the South and the Midwest, is by applying critical race theory. I mean, truly, this is an effort to eliminate the study of the history of racism in America, and somehow to simply eliminate Black history as a study.
And that's it, you know, talking to people. And John, you know, we always say that, you know, busted pencils, it's for my neighbor, because we want my neighbor who's maybe sitting over there, as you're saying, I don't like critical race theory, but they don't know why they don't like critical race theory, to be listening to this show and going, oh, wait, but yeah, oh, no, I knew about slavery. Yeah, slavery was horrible. Oh, and the effects of, yeah, I mean, there's lots of bad things that are still happening. And you're like, well, okay, that's critical race theory. Oh, well, I'm okay with that. And so we say with busted pencils, and what we try to do here every week is give my neighbor an opportunity to potentially rehear some of the things that they're hearing on Fox News or those other places, to say, okay, wait a minute, I want to try hearing that and thinking about that again. We are talking to Dr. Diane Ravitch, eminent historian. DianeRavitch.net is her blog. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. When we get back, more with Dr. Diane Ravitch. Don't go, just get over here. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Our guest tonight, Dr. Diane Ravitch, eminent education historian, author of lots of books, but I just want to talk about this book, Slaying Goliath, The Passionate Resistance to Privatization and the Fight to Save America's Public Schools. And Diane, you actually made mention of Busted Pencils in that book. I remember that. Just looking at that.
God.
So, well, you know, so Johnny, you know, one of the resistors here, you know what? In fact, maybe that's the turn, though, too, Diane, because when we come back to this, the attack on teaching history, the attack on truth, you know, a premise, and I'm going to say not a premise, but I believe this and just want to get your sense of this, is going, isn't this all still really also just really, again, another attack on public schools and trying to actually privatize and get rid of public schools?
Well, Tim, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was sitting here and thinking about, I really have to bring this back to the main point. The main point is not critical race theory. The main point is not transgender kids. The main point is not LGBT stuff. The main point is discrediting public education. The main point is destroying public education. The main point that's behind Christopher Rufo and his attacks, and he said this very openly when he spoke at Hillsdale College, the main point is to destroy public education, to privatize everything. And this means attacking teachers, undermining faith in public education. Public education has been a cornerstone of our democracy since the early 19th century. It's been the place where many children and families learned how to be part of our society and learned how to live with people different from themselves. And what they want, I think of the quote from Governor Greg Abbott, who said, we want education, not indoctrination. So where does he want kids to go? To religious schools, where the purpose is indoctrination, not education. And there's a big push on in all the red states right now for vouchers. And it's come out like this was pre-planned. I mean, there's no question. All of these states at the same time are coming out with legislation not written in their state, but written probably by the ALEC organization, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is funded by big corporations and right-wing billionaires and people like Charles Koch and Betsy DeVos. And they don't like public education. They want private education only. They want taxpayers to pay for religious schools. They want taxpayers to pay for homeschooling. And suddenly we see this wave of privatization legislation, and it is being pushed along by these outrageous claims that teachers are somehow grooming children to be perverse, which is absurd, ridiculous, slanderous. People who say this should be brought into the docket and charged with libel. And they're saying that public schools are teaching divisiveness, like it's a divisive concept to be taught the truth, that we have things in our history that we can't be proud of, but that we work all the time as a democracy to get better. and we've made enormous strides, and we have to know the truth to know the strides that have been made. But behind all of these complaints and behind all of the issues that we've been talking about is the desire to eliminate public education and to drive teachers out of teaching. And that's what I believe is the cause of the teacher shortages across the country. I mean, right now, for example, Texas has a state surplus of $33 billion. They're not using it to make their public schools better. They want to use it to pay for kids who are already in private school. There are 300,000 kids in private schools in Texas. If each of them gets $10,000 the first year, that's $3 billion right there. Well, they're not going to use the other $30 billion to help public schools either, because they want to drive public schools out.
I think about that, Johnny, you know, because Johnny's always on this. I mean, public education, the cornerstone of democracy, and how if we eliminate that, Johnny, I want to get you, because that's you really lean into that on the show.
Well, I mean, Tim, I get excited about these conversations that reinvigorate teachers to connect children not only with learning, but with learning the most accurate, the expert knowledge that's available to them. So whether we're teaching science or history or mathematics, a teacher in a democracy is bringing the best of their knowledge in that subject area to young learners, right? And so I get really concerned when there is political effort, what are we going to call it, to censor or ban expertise from learning. And so I think it comes back to, if we don't learn our history, we are not prepared to be good democratic citizens moving forward. And that's not situating democratic citizenship in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. It's really looking at, what does it mean to be a decision maker in a community, and where we learn to do that? Schools. And what are the tools that we are trained in to make good decisions together in the interest of common good? And I think that's really, when I hear these threats, what's at stake here is our ability to discern common good together. And the historians provide that expertise, right? The facts that, as teachers, especially like Tim and I, we prepare social studies teachers. So history, geography, civics, economics, these components to our classrooms. How do we speak back to the DeSantis kind of movement that says, we not only don't want you to teach facts, we don't want you to apply expertise in the classroom that's out there from historians or from even scientists, right? We want a pretty particular grouping of knowledge imposed on young learners. This is antithetical to basically the oath teachers take to do the kind of teaching they do in a democracy. So I get excited about when we can begin to talk to, like Tim said, our neighbors, but to listeners out there who are teachers and professors, whether it's in Florida or, like you said, in copycat places. I'm also relatively lucky. I'm in the state of Washington. Our legislation supports a lot of the kinds of things we're talking about need to be part of classrooms. It doesn't mean it's done well or perfectly here. We're always working on it, but we have legislative support in terms of support in a democracy to prepare children to be decision makers in democratic communities. And so our listeners, though, are in places where they're really afraid if they do that, they will be not only lose their livelihood in terms of their ability, their license to teach in that state, but also that they'll be maybe even, like we've said, imprisoned. And so I get excited about how we can talk about what are the things they can do or we can do to support those kinds of attacks.
I think the one thing that's important, and you were really getting into that, Johnny, is talking about the importance of public schools and why we have to protect them. And we've been through, I would say, many years, starting with No Child Left Behind, and even going back to the famous report, 1983, A Nation at Risk, that said that our schools were mediocre, that there was a rising tide of mediocrity, and that we were falling behind the world. And I'm embarrassed to say that I was on that side, and happy to say that I realized it after many years of repeating this stuff, I started looking at myself and my ideas and said, you know, this is wrong. This is wrong. Look at the data. Look at the truth. And I wrote a book in 2010 where I basically renounced all of this stuff and said that our public schools are the glue that holds this country together. And we really lose them at our peril. I think that if you look at the facts, and I wrote a book in after that one. The one in 2010 was called The Death and Life of the Great American School System, How Testing and Choice Are Undermining Education. In 2013, I wrote a book where I took on everything that the so-called reformers say. What are the claims they make? That achievement is down? No, achievement in 2013 was the highest that had ever been in our history. The graduation rates were the highest they had ever been in our history. That was true for every ethnic and racial group in the country. And I just took on all of their claims one by one to say, none of this is true. Our public schools are doing a great job and we should invest in them and support them. And then the third in this trilogy was the book celebrating the resistance, people like Tim, who's been fighting so long and so hard, and many other people who've really fought against this narrative. But the narrative has been very emotional and very powerful. And many people will say our public schools are failing. They are not failing. They're doing an incredible job under very difficult circumstances, particularly because in so many places, they don't have basic resources. And they're being starved by the creation of charter schools, starved by the creation of vouchers. And we cannot in this country support three separate publicly funded school systems. It's simply insane.
And that just makes me grit my teeth and go through this, because it's like, yeah, recognizing that what's at the core here is a dismantling of public education. I remember all, you know, back in 2010, Diane, when you released the Great American School, that was when I was in Pennsylvania and got you on a really small AM radio station. And we talked about this and started moving this because I, you know, instantly saw the demonization of schools and how you had come in that book to really come out and go like, wait a minute, if we lose this public education system, of which, you know, we were, you know, and in fact, 2023, I'm not sure things are a whole lot better. In fact, what we're talking about today seems to me that every attack we do is really just one way to make my neighbor doubt their own local public school. And so that doubt, and so whether they're upset about critical race theory or they're upset that, you know, kids are learning American history, that America's, you know, was bad or whatever, these different things, all of these though go towards that ultimate goal of getting rid of public education. And this is where when we talk to people and say, you might not like, and I might not like some of the ideas, but if you are against the idea of public education, you know what? Come out and say it, and let's have a debate about you don't like public education, I do. Let's talk about its merits. But stop this nonsense about teachers being groomers, schools failing, all of this nonsense out there that takes us away from recognizing, if you don't have a public school system, how do you have a public democracy where we can talk about these things? I don't think I'm overstating it here.
Well, you're not. And also, I think one of the important things that really is often overlooked these days is that we are an incredibly diverse society, more diverse now than we've ever been, and that public schools are the places where young people learn from others who are different from themselves. What we are heading towards, particularly in states that are adopting vouchers, is siloing children to be only with people just like themselves and not learning how to live in the 21st century. Public education is the best preparation for the 21st century, and the question is not one of choice. I support everyone's choice. I don't support funding everyone's choice. I support funding public schools and letting people make their own choices. If you make a private choice, pay for it.
Exactly. Man, Diane Ravitch, they talk about, you know, so all the way Slaying Goliath, Reign of Air, The Great American School. Check out that book, the series of books. Awesome stuff. Diane, thank you so much for being on the show and busting pencils with us tonight.
Well, please read my blog tomorrow morning, where okay. I really lay waste to the richest man in Pennsylvania, whose highest priority is to destroy public education.
Well, check it out. Yeah, DianeRavage.net, the Diane Ravitch blog. Check it out there. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Johnny and Tim break it down when we get back.
Yeah, thank you.
Very much, these triggers ache for the touch. Where's the strength we relied on?
I know where the strength is. It's right here every Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. And wow, did we just have an educated educator talking education with us. Dr. Diane Ravitch, eminent education historian, DianeRavage.net. Check out her blog. She said, particularly check it out tomorrow. Check out all of her books, Slaying Goliath, Reign of Air, The Great American School, and keeps going. But Johnny, you know, we're thinking about this. We start off with the, you know, what's going on in Florida, their House Bill 999 and the, you know, blatant attack on teaching truth and teaching history. You know, and we come back around to this, and, you know, we were talking about this during the break, and this was one of the most important things that I know this was really got Diane animated, was to recognize this is all really, though, about saving American public education. Mm-hmm. And so while it's really important to recognize and see and call out the fact that teaching about race and outlawing teaching about race, banning books and things like these are all problems that need to be called out and confronted. But to recognize more importantly that every one of these attempts is an attack on the American public school system. And I see you're nodding to me there, man.
Well, yeah. And it's an attack on what we've said before is not only the bedrock of democracy, but it's a matter of national security. And so major, you know, it's a major attack on the infrastructure of our democracy is where we, I said it earlier in the show and I'll come back to it. It's where we learn to make decisions together in the interest of the common good and where we learn that that's messy and complicated, but it's a project that we apply our best expertise to in a variety of different disciplines. So we have to have a certain level of literacy. It's important to be able to read, to have conversation, to debate, to apply an understanding of scientific knowledge to decision-making and to gathering of facts. So we make the best informed decisions together as a community, as a state, as a country. And this is really important that we learn to do this. It's why we have public schools as a matter of insurance, sort of like it underwrites our democracy. And this is the reason why we have public schools. We can go back into, we talk about histories,
but
we can go back into
the
it is, right? It's the reason why we had compulsory education as a major component of ensuring our democracy. You know, and I think there's probably
and
some
isn't that though the I think though, isn't that the reason it's under attack also? Is just because
absolutely you can't, and I feel like Diane brought that up tonight. You know, Dr. Ravitch talked about the effort to privatize public schools, and it underwrites this. And I believe she's right on point that even though we're here responding today, mm-hmm. often to the attacks on public education, things like the outrage of how could you not allow teachers to teach historical facts? to children, right? That's an outrage. And here we are responding to it as we should. But at the same time, right, that is a tactic to get us to think about in general, to have our neighbors even thinking about this even more than us as experts who are required to respond. But people thinking, wow, it sounds like schools are a mess. And then what happens right. is we swoop in and we say, well, you know what? Public schools are really a mess. Let's privatize them or let's privately fund them, which is a form of privatization. And then we can have families or communities choose.
Right.
And then we create a market. We create kind of like an economic system of choose where you want to go to school that's akin to like choose where you'd like to go to eat or choose where you'd like to go shop. And historically, education has not been that kind of thing in a democracy. It's you go to a public school system or a private, but that private is privately funded. It's not publicly funded. And then there's that choice. And in a public school system, there is, like Diane brought up, a state curriculum, a commitment to democratic citizenship, to learning and applying historical expertise, scientific expertise. All of these things get taught and learned in public school systems. I'm not saying that they don't get taught and learned in private school systems. I just say keep those two separate.
Right.
But what we're seeing here is an attack on a really muddying of things to be able to step back and say, look, things are a mess. Let's just privatize them and fix them.
But even that, the things are a mess, right? It's like, but they're not really. And so they're not. And say, you know, yeah, you want a private school, go for it. But actually a public school system, when you're attacking, when my neighbor hears that the schools are crappy, when my neighbor, you know, hears that schools are failing, when my neighbor hears these things, their distrust then in the American public education system then starts to go away. And this is where we allow that creep of going, okay, maybe a private education makes sense, or maybe we should let parents choose because things are really, really bad. What they're not hearing though is like, first of all, things aren't really bad, but you're now participating in dismantling democracy.
Yeah.
Not people are like, oh, you're just a big public school advocate. Yes, I am, but I'm a bigger advocate for democracy. And there is no other institution that has embedded in it the foundational goals of saying democratic participatory citizenship. And then back to the curriculum you and I love, the social studies. I mean, this is our job. These are the standards Diane was talking about when we're saying, wait a minute, our goal is to teach students, kids, families, how to participate, how to work together, how to be with each other, how to sustain freedom. When people are talking about freedom, man, if you're not a public education advocate, you can't be for freedom. I'm just saying, Johnny, there is no way that you are an advocate for freedom if you are an advocate for doing away with the American public education system. And wow, what a show. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Thanks again, Dr. Diane Ravitch. We really appreciate it. Johnny, thanks for knocking it out of the park. More Busted Pencils next week.
Bom.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
We are Busted Pencils!